History and Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt from Nashville, and joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I am doing fine. I'm excited. We've got a great show lined up today with some exciting and interesting topics. And also, I'm getting packed up and ready to head out for our fundraiser and event that's coming up this week. So,
that's
busy,
right.
Busy week, a lot of fun that's getting ready to take place. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second half of our show. But right now, why don't you let our audience know who our great guests are today?
Well, today's going to be a very interesting show. We have Randy Rasmussen with Backcountry Horsemen of America. Then we travel to Belvedere, Tennessee, and talk with Christine Mortensen of the Circle E Guest Ranch.
All right, so we're looking forward to our conversation with Randy and with Christine. And we remind our audience that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. In the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And our great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com. And with TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more at TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Randy Rasmussen. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Wildcat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, I'm sending you to jail, Wildcat raised his head and cried, oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in, let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in, I wanna be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences.
Starting the show out this morning with Don't Fence Me In by Riders in the Sky, and we move fast forward to the year 2020, and no horses are allowed. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Tina May. I'm doing
great.
Good
morning, Randy.
Well, we are losing land and trails as we speak. And 2020 is probably not accurate, but, you know, time flies. Things change. Is there time to make a difference, and what are the challenges, Randy, that we're facing right now?
Oh, lots of challenges, but I'm an optimist, especially now that I'm really seeing a resurgence in the recognition of the importance of horses and pack stock. But it's not going to be an easy path to plow here or to tow. We're going to have to work really hard. And you know, of course, backcountry horsemen of America, we exist just for this very issue. I mean, we want to perpetuate the common sense use and enjoyment of horses in America's backcountry and wilderness. That is our mission. That is what we do and have been doing for 42 years. And it's not easy. We oftentimes, you know, see lots of changes in the federal and state agencies. Mostly, you know, it seems more often than not we're doing battles to preserve access, but we're also seeing a lot of amazing gains in terms of the recognition and the importance of horse and stock use. And so we're seeing, you know, some advances and some places where we're holding ground pretty well, if not expanding some of the trail systems on our public lands. So it's a mixed bag, but really the bottom line to answer your question is it's going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And a lot of that being, you know, sweat in terms of sweat equity and our having to take on and say we'll maintain the trails, we'll build the trails, and we'll be there for the next decade or and more to make sure that those trails are properly taken care of because the agencies just can't do it anymore. So there's a lot of things towards the solutions, but the main thing we're doing is sweat equity to keep trails open physically with our volunteers. And in this case,
well, how is I start to say, how is the bill that has been proposed progressing?
Well, there's a number of bills in Congress that I would consider a threat. Some of them are not even realistic or probably have a ghost of a chance of passing in even this Congress. But there are a number of bills and a number of actions being taken by Congress to facilitate the transfer of federal public lands to the states or sell them off outright. And so one of the bills, I think what you're talking about, Gary, is one introduced by a group of Texas members of the House of Representatives, H.R. 1931, with the goal to sell off a third of our public lands in 5 years and continue going from there. I think that's an outlier meant to draw fire and anxiety against all the people who love and use public lands, that it would be such an outrageous thing. I think it's going to die under its own weight. And I think the real threats are still coming in the forms of bills that we haven't seen in Congress yet that are going to try to take a more intermediate stand and sound reasonable compared to that bill we just talked about being so outlandish that we'd give away a third of our public estate in short order.
Yeah. Before we get into that, because we're going to get into this topic quite a bit, but there's also a bill that's a good bill that's been proposed, and that's one that Backcountry Horsemen, I think the Wilderness Society and some other groups have supported, and that is to increase the volunteer efforts and support out on the trails. And I forgot the bill number on that, but I know you know it. And how is that one looking?
Well, it's looking really good, Gary. Thanks for mentioning that. It's a bill that's in both the House of Representatives and the Senate now. It's called the National Forest System Trails Stewardship Act. It's a mouthful, but what it means
is
on our national forests, we want more partners, volunteers, and trail stewards to pick up the slack that the agencies, have let go as a result of their poor funding. And we want volunteers and partners to do more to maintain trails and keep trails open because we're seeing a lot of them growing in and a lot of access challenges where we think volunteers can make a difference. So the prospects are good. We've got over 30 sponsors in the House and Senate. And in the House alone, it's split evenly between Democrats and Republicans, too. So it's truly bipartisan. I mean, trails should be bipartisan. There shouldn't be one party that favors trails over another. And I think we've really struck a nice way to approach this and get the representation balanced and move this through Congress. And it's just one of many things that we need to do to keep our trails open. But we're educating Congress as we go along, and we're getting a lot of positive reception. Both for their recreational benefits and what trails mean for local economies, where there's a number of trails and where people come to recreate. So we're We see this going and continuing to grow, where we can also help counter some of the threats that we're seeing of people wanting to sell off public lands or get rid of them for whatever reason.
Okay, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to go back and mention this particular bill, because the other bill, the one that was brought up by the Texas group, and the conversation about divesting our federal lands and going back to the state, what is the underlying purpose for that? And I'm going to assume part of it is on the federal side, might be the cost of keeping those trails up, but what do you see as the real reason for that even being brought up?
Well, I mean, the move to shift federal public lands, anytime you're looking for large organizations or entities to try to grab land, it's for self-serving needs. Land is wealth. And so for hundreds of years, if not longer, there's the states or the local governments or private entities have tried to find ways to wrestle public lands for their own profits. There's also, just the school of thought that the less, federal government, the smaller it gets, the better. And of course, the federal government is a big land owner in the United States. So lots of people just think if we reduce the size of that bureaucracy, we can reduce costs and the influence of the federal government. That's also fuels part of the thinking of the move to transfer public lands to more local control. But the current push that we're seeing is clearly has funding ties with the oil and gas industry, and I don't say those things lightly until I really understand them and see them, how they've played out. But there's no question the oil and gas industry and some of these interests are very much promoting this type of transfer. So there's, some self-serving interests involved that are aligning themselves with political interests that think less federal government is good.
Yeah. Well, and there are problems with federal government in control of the lands. And again, we talked just a little bit before the show about the situation, I believe it's out in Arizona, where the Apache Holy Lands, Oak Flat particularly, they just snuck in a rider to a bill.
This was a
defense bill that needed to be passed, but at the last moment, they snuck in a rider to the bill that actually allowed the sale of these lands that had been actually protected and preserved by two presidents, first Eisenhower and then Nixon, and that was in the Oak Flat area, and it's been a treasure and really holy lands for the Apache for years, but that was just is being transferred to a uranium mine, the Rio Tinto, and that's owned by Australian and British interest.
I think it's Canadian, Australian. Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but it's certainly not a U.S. based corporation, and I think that's one that's tied in with Resolution Copper.
Right.
This was in the Defense Authorization Act from last year at the end of 2014, snuck in there, as did a number of bad provisions, in addition to some good things on the conservation public land side. But, I think that's a total travesty when members of Congress can, without having hearings or do anything of that nature, wrestle sacred public lands, in this case from the Apache tribe, in the middle of a Coconino National Forest, and hand them over to a national, multinational corporation that isn't even U.S.-based. I mean, irrespective, it's a crime, but the fact that it's even an international organization not here in the U.S. is even worse. That's a bad trend, and that's really a terrible precedent we've seen in Arizona, and it all happened then legally, but certainly, very underhanded.
Right.
And
that's what has
me worried with the federal government. I mean, they're using our lands for collateral with China. And they're doing things like that with the Apache Holy Lands. And I believe if it's within the state, the people will catch wind of it a lot quicker and a lot sooner, and they can gather together and go to their state capitals to fight things like that. And so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, we want to kind of pick on the federal government in this discussion, but we're going to turn and look at the states in just a minute as well. But This was the first time ever that sacred Native American sites have been turned over to a foreign country. And so that is a challenge that we face. We do need to mention, though, that it does take a majority of Congress to allow something like this to happen. Never has happened before, and in most cases it has been rejected when any type of situation like that has come up. But again, this was snuck in at the last minute before people really had a chance to see what was going on with that. But we're going to talk about what happens when states own the land as well in just a minute. But before we do that, we need to pay a bill, and we need to recognize one of our sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana. Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply today online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to come and talk a little bit about what happens when states have control of lands. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I want to saddle my horse in the darkness, ride out in the morning dew. I want to breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom, toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Want to see one more hometown rodeo, or its hats off for the flag. We'll cheer that bucking horse in the wild ride. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that saddle song. If you're saying that you missed it all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Wanna see one more Charlie Russell print in some old sale barn cafe, where the old men over coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with a wagon, smell the scent of springtime sage. I want the wind at my back on down the trail. Want to see suntan cowgirl cheeks and long braids neath a hat. Want to hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride out our raging storm till the light comes shining through. And then I count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed her all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Don't tell me is dead and gone.
That's R. W. Hampton's Don't Tell Me, and you know, that's kind of what I worry about, is don't tell me that our land is not there, because I'd like to get up and ride areas I haven't ridden and get out and enjoy the fresh morning dew and take advantage of those trails that we have. One of the things, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and that is what's happened with our western states. You know, they have most of the federal lands are out in the western states, and I'm just going to share a few of these numbers real quickly. Western states have been selling their land since they were awarded them at statehood, and this was interesting to me. New Mexico has sold off 4 million of its original 13 million acres. Nevada was awarded 2.7 million acres at statehood and only has 3,000 acres left. Montana has sold 800,000 acres of the state land so far. Idaho has sold 1.2 million and Colorado has sold 1.7, as well as Arizona at 1.7. Those don't look like real good numbers to me.
No, Gary, this is Randy, and those numbers frighten me too. I've seen similar numbers, and these are, of course, the acreages that the western states were granted as a condition of statehood. Of course, these lands were never part of the states here in the West. There was, of course, the Louisiana Purchase and all these things the federal government did, and when a territory said we wanted to become a state, one of the conditions of statehood is, well, yes, but you have to, first of all, relinquish any claim to what's the federal state, but we'll give you millions of acres to support your school and other trusts in the states, which many have done somewhat successfully, others have failed. But the rate of the sell-off of those public lands over that last 150 years, let's say, with Nevada, out of 2.7 million acres granted at statehood, they've only got 3,000 left. That tells me that they're not capable managers of their own lands, and they're going to do a fire sale whenever they can, much to the demise of any kind of public access or public use of those lands in the future.
Once it's sold, it's gone. You don't get it back.
How much has the federal government done, and how much land has the federal government used as collateral to foreign lands?
Nowhere on that scale, as far as I know. And I'm not sure what you mean by collateral. I'm not familiar with that concept, Tina May. Has there been some auctioning off of land specific for that purpose? I'm not aware of that.
Yes, for our debt. They're using our lands for collateral.
I'm not familiar with that concept, so that's news to me. But no, there's no question that the record of the states is, and especially the western states, is quite dismal. And even worse, Gary, if we're talking about some of these bills that would transfer federal lands to states, it really depends on the mandate and how things are set up. But right now, the western states, and I've had the good fortune to live and recreate in four western states, their mandate is really specific. It's to generate, maximize revenue. That's the sole purpose of the state trust lands that were given to the feds. And that's a different way of looking at things. That's forgetting about the recreational values, the hunting and fishing, the quality of life or the access that we enjoy and the freedoms that we hold dear to explore our public lands. If it's just all down to dollars and cents and what could make the biggest buck, there's some places where recreation would fit that bill, but a lot of places where it wouldn't. And so clearly, in my view and that of the Backcountry Horsemen of America, we see as a huge threat to our continued access to public lands any kind of move to transfer federal public lands to states for those reasons. Even in New Mexico, where I lived for many years, you have to get a permit to access state-controlled lands, and you can't camp overnight unless you have the authorization of whatever permittee or leaseholder for those public lands there is. It's not a system that is very friendly to public access and, in fact, keeps people out for the most part. So if that system were replicated or the states had more control over federal lands, particularly in the western U.S., which I'm most familiar with, I see nothing but, gates, locked gates and ways to keep people out and, perhaps the massive exploitation of land, which we all need resources and minerals and lumber. That needs to happen. But without any kind of controls, I fear that, again, recreation and our access would be the last thing of importance to the states in that case.
Right. And I know and Tina May's feeling reflects a lot of the thought of many others as well, and that is, the states and the people in those states can determine what the use of the land is better than the federal government. And that's an understandable thought, particularly the way people feel about our federal government today and things that they don't accomplish and things that happen, like this little rider that was snuck in the other day on that particular bill. But the states are mandated to have balanced budgets. I mean, in Tennessee, we have to have a balanced budget. We can't do like the federal government. We can't go into debt. And we have to balance it. And one of the ways that they do that, in addition to cutting cost, is to sell their assets. And that's exactly what we were talking about with the numbers that we were looking at from those different states and what they've sold and what they have left, which I think is a real challenge for folks. But the other side of the coin, too, Randy, and Tina has an opinion, and we'll let her share that one as well, but isn't it easier to deal with a smaller number of federal regulators than it is 50 different ones?
Well,
if it's state-owned, you wouldn't be dealing with 50 different ones, unless you're talking about Backcountry Horsemen of America themselves.
Yeah, from a local perspective, perhaps not easier to deal with, but from a national perspective, yes. But keep in mind, I mean, federal lands and federal regulations, as much as we have several problems with them, you know, and, you know, these public lands are stressed, but the system is not broken. And there are some laws we like, some laws we don't like at the federal level. I would be more fearful, though, if you broke it into 50 individual states and fiefdoms, that there would be many things. The public values would soon get lost. The value of hunting and fishing and recreation, the kinds of things that we represent, you know, depending on where you are, those could be largely lost. But they're reflected in a good way at the federal lands, and federal land managers doing a better job of recognizing that the economic value alone of recreation and how it's already eclipsed the economic value of livestock, timber, and mining in most places, in the West in particular. So I fear that if it were broken down to a state level, you know, there are a number of those other values, clean watersheds, protect fisheries and fisheries habitat for those of us that like angling, all those things would be of a lower priority in state ownership in most cases. And I think we would just see our lands further diminished and degraded as a result of that lack of vision that, you know, as bad as the federal government can be, it certainly has the broader public interests in mind, in my opinion.
Yeah. And
see,
again,
I think the opposite. And this is my point, because there's good and bad in both of them. We could sit there and pick them both apart, whether it's state-owned or federal government-owned. We could pick them apart. But my point is to get the control more back to the people that live in their own state, and it's their livelihoods that's at stake. That is what I'm focusing on. And if there's something else, you know, something that goes on in their state, they're going to be aware of it a lot quicker than something else going on five states over. They're not going to find out about it. Now, we're all in the know because of what we do for a living, but the average person is not going to find out about what's going on five states over with the trails and their land. But the people within their own area that have their livelihood based in that area on some of these lands and the national scenic riverways, for one, the waterways, they will find out what's going on, and they can pull together, and I can see people getting together, making one voice, and headed to their state capital a lot quicker than getting a bunch of people and trying to go into Washington, D.C. That's my point, because there is good and bad in it all, and there's different opinions and people.
Okay, Tina May, so you're making a case that there should be more local involvement and maybe even greater weight for local in decision-making about public lands, whoever owns it, but does that necessarily mean you have to have it the title owned by the state or local counties, that land has to, the ownership has to transfer to that local level to make that happen? Because I think that can happen without having to transfer title and take public lands, you know, out of the public's hands at a national level.
Well, that would be great, but I don't see it happening, and that's why it's brought, that's why it's come to this. I think people are wanting to have more of a say-so, and this is their way of wanting to get it. Because nothing else is working.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I think the real reason that this has come to a head is because of profiteering. And that's, let's get it back to the state so we can dispose of this land in some ways that are not necessarily to be used to preserve, but to generate some income. Certain folks.
Well, I think it's both, you know, both what Tina May talked about and what you're talking about, Gary. But I think the solution being proposed, the transfer of the title and taking, you know, our public lands that are part of the fabric of what I consider our democracy, you know, I want to keep them that way. But I don't see how that solves the problem. I think that's, first of all, I don't think we have any case studies or examples to point to in mass where we can say, yeah, here's proof positive that the states can take millions of acres and do a better job. In fact, all the data we have in the case studies we've seen to date tell us the opposite. The states will bungle it. They don't have the resources. They couldn't even control wildland fires, you know, and the budgets that that takes. So how on earth can they do this without going bankrupt? And I've got a great case study that is just played out in a big way, and it was resolved in the same Defense Authorization Act bill that you mentioned, Gary, from the end of 2014. This was 89,000 acres in New Mexico, called New Mexico's, Little Yellowstone. This was the Valles Caldera National Preserve, and the members of Congress who set that up 15 years ago said it has to be economically self-sustaining, local decision-making, all the kind of things we're talking about here. And Congress wanted to make it and gave it 15 years. It had to turn a buck and make money and generate revenue from those public lands. Well, it failed, and it failed miserably, and the trust that was set up could never support the weight of all the expenses they had. Even the Forest Service took over firefighting costs, which were enormous in that part of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at the end of that same Defense Authorization Act that you mentioned said, we give up. We can't do it. We're giving this device called there to the National Park Service because only the feds can manage it properly. So
yeah,
we've got a recent case study on a very important landscape that shows that that concept didn't work in New Mexico, and I doubt it would work in many other states.
Yeah. Well, this is a conversation that is sensitive to a lot of people, and we'll continue to go on some. We're going to encourage our listeners to kind of give us some feedback, and we'll post some things as well on our social media and see if we can get some response from folks. An ongoing conversation. And again, good people that have strong opinions on both sides. And again, people are entitled to their opinions. But it's something that folks really need to think about because this has an ongoing effect on the legacy that we've all enjoyed, and that is being able to enjoy our national treasures as a nation as well. So, Randy, you're always so good to have on the show. We did not do any teasing early on, which we should have about you because, you know, Tina May was talking about that good-looking Randy Rasmussen being on the show about a month ago, and she didn't say a thing today about that. But,
I believe that came from you, Gary.
Maybe. But we always have great-looking guests, so we appreciate our guests. Hey, Randy, where can we find out information about Backcountry Horsemen?
At bcha.org. We've shortened our website, BCHA, or you can go to backcountryhorse.org. Either way, we're there. And look, on that very front page, we have a resolution that we passed in April 25th, just a little over a month ago, that we sent to every member of Congress that opposes the sale or transfer of federal public lands to the states. You can look at our rationale there. It's just a one-page thing. That reflects the unanimous consent of the Board of Directors of Backcountry Horsemen of America from every state.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd encourage people to do that and let folks, want our listeners out there to let folks know how you feel about this topic and do some research because it's not just a cut and dried thing. And there are usually motivations behind something being proposed. So this will be a topic we may have to pick up again.
Oh, indeed. We're going to have to. And I want to encourage people to go to Backcountry Horsemen of America's page. Be in the know, you know, what's out there, whether you agree with it or not. They're letting you know what's going on with our trails and our public lands. So.
Amen. Randy,
thank you, Randy.
Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to talking with you the next time and look forward to seeing Jim and Cindy in just a couple of days in Tennessee. So talk with you soon, my friend.
Always an honor to be on. Thank you.
All right. Good to have you.
Thank you, Randy. Bye-bye.
All right, so interesting conversation, and this will continue and go on. But right now we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about them today at trailguard.org. And Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the lovely Christine Mortensen about the Circle E Guest Ranch in Belvidere, Tennessee. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Kristen Harris, and we want to wish Kristen a very happy 21st birthday, one of our favorite guests, and as a matter of fact, we look forward to seeing Kristen in Tennessee next year, so that's something to look forward to. But right now, we have one of the hardest working, sweetest people in the world joining us, and that's Christine Mortensen. Hey, Christine.
Thank you, Gary. Hi, Gary and Tina. How are y'all today?
Hi, Christine. Doing great. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. We're really working really hard to get everything so it'd be just as pretty and organized as possible.
Oh, I think it's going to be wonderful.
Well, you're always doing a great job, but we want to talk to folks a little bit about the Circle E Guest Ranch. Of course, we've been talking about you for months, and today, on RFD-TV, Templeton Thompson was on, and she talked a little bit about the event in Circle E, and tomorrow Michael Martin Murphy will be talking about that on RFD-TV as well, so be sure and tune in and catch them about 9:25 on your Central Standard Time, so check your schedule to see when that airs as well. But we're going to have a big time at Circle E. But Christine, tell us a little bit about your facility for folks that are not familiar and that have to be dead not to know about Circle E by now. But tell us a little bit about Silly.
Yeah. Circle E Guest Ranch is a guest ranch that has log cabins for rent, 240 campsites, 400 stalls. We have 120 miles of riding trails that range from easy to challenging. We are in the Cumberland Mountains. We have a dining hall that seats 250 and an amphitheater where we have concerts, located about an hour and a half south of Nashville, about 45 minutes north of Chattanooga, and it's just a beautiful facility.
Well, it is a beautiful facility, and you know, we've got our big event that's taking place. It's Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. One of the things that, you know, people really get excited about is not having to cook when they go camping. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little about your facilities and your meals, and then, you know, if you hear anything that sounds like a drip, 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 it's Tina Mae drooling on her microphone.
Yeah. We all love to eat, don't we, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant is not open except during special events and our 4-week-long organized rides. And this coming weekend, we will be offering 8 meals, hot buffet meals. Homemade cooking. We'll have some baked ham, mashed potatoes, green beans, rolls, cornbread. We'll have some fried fish on Friday with coleslaw and stuff like that, hamburgers and hot dogs and barbecue sandwiches and some grilled chicken. And we just have a real good menu laid out for this weekend, and we're got some excellent cooks. We've Larry London back. He did leave us for a little while. He had some other jobs to take care of, but he's back and cooking for us. So I know a lot of riders who've been out there and ate Larry's food is going to be very excited about that.
Well, and you know, I'm happy to hear that, because you told me the other day you were cooking, and that just scared the bejabbers out of me. But anyway.
Yeah, I told everybody, make sure you bring your Tums and your Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, gosh. I'm just teasing. But it is absolutely a beautiful restaurant there. It's a big thing, about 6,500 square feet, if I'm not mistaken. And those buffet meals are just tremendous. Everybody got all that they could eat last year. And in addition to that, you have an entertainment area where you do karaoke and performances, and that's where our Cowboy Up Ball is going to be this year. And the Kenny Berry Band is going to join us for that on Thursday night. I've not heard them, but you said a person might be able to dance a song or two to them.
Oh, they play some wonderful dance music. They are out of Nashville, Alabama, the Kenny Berry
right.
Band. And I heard that they are kin to some of those players in the band, the original band, Alabama. So they've got some good connections, some great players, and they will keep you dancing all night long.
Well, we're going to have fun with that. We're going to take a real quick break. And one of our premier performers, he'll be headlining the show on Saturday night, is Michael Martin Murphy. We're going to take a quick break and listen to his Mountain Storm from the Red River Drifter CD, and talk with Christine about a little bit more that we have planned for this weekend, and more about the Circle E. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Up where the mountains near touch the sky, and sudden clouds go sailing by. You take the darkness, you take the light. Follow the trail beyond your sight. Love is unforeseen and strange. It's only constant in its change. It needs the thunder, it needs the steam, it needs the heat, it needs the chill. Oh, won't you wait? Thing you know, the sun will shine. See a double rainbow through the pines. Oh, won't you wait a little while before you cry, before you smile? Love will grow cold.
Michael Martin Murphy and his song Mountain Storm, and he'll be performing live at 8 o'clock on Saturday night with the Rio Grande Band at the Circle E Guest Ranch. And, you know, we did not talk, Christine, about your campsites, because these are not just little squeezed up close together campsites. You've got 240 water and electric sites, and tell us about those. I mean, those, you can get any kind of rig in there, can't you?
Yes, yes. Well, when Mr. Evans built the campground, he was already an experienced semi-truck driver, and so he wanted to make sure that these campsites were big enough for the biggest horse trailers to get in. Most of them on the new side are pull-through sites, and they're about 72 feet long and wide enough you could put two trailers in each site, side by side. So they're big and roomy, and spread out really good. Now, we do have some on the old side that are smaller. We've got, on both sides, we've got pull-through sites and back-end sites. On the old side, we have about 88 campsites, but many of those are smaller back-end sites for, like, little RVs and campers. But there is some full hookup sites on that side as well.
Okay, and 400 stalls. I mean, that's a lot of stalls.
It is. When Mr. Evans first built it, he started out with the barn on the old side, which had 39 stalls. But now we actually have 397 stalls in the covered stalls in the barns, and then several pens. So we, you know, five, I think, pens, but we have five barns. Barn C is 10 by 12 stalls, and then we got three stalls in there that are 40 foot by 12. And
oh, wow.
Barn,
wow.
And the frog, yeah, the frog barn is four stalls in that barn, and they're I think they're 12 by 12. No, the Zorro. We have the Zorro barn, and then we got the frog barn, which is a two-stall barn, and they're just 10 by 10s. And then barn A and B are 8 by 8s. And barn D and E are 8 by 10. So we've got all kinds of sizes. And then you'll find water and hookups at the each corner of the barn, and we provide the water hoses.
All right. All
wow.
right. Well,
now, do you have like a – go ahead, Gary.
No.
Do you have anything like a round pin, or do you have like a little – I'm sure you can arena. You're going to have the –
Yes, in the arena is a round pin, and yes, they will be using it during the Extreme Cowboy competitions. But any other time, the customer is welcome to use that round pin to warm up and exercise their horse before they want to ride. And sometimes we let them just let their horse in there just to kind of stretch its legs a little bit out of the stall. But you know, we.
What about shower houses?
Shower houses. We have shower houses on both sides of the highway, and on the old side, it's there's two showers in the men's and two in the women's, and bathroom and sink. And then on the at the end of the dining hall, there's six showers in the men's and six in the women, and 6 to 10 toilets in each. So it's pretty large, nice, clean showers. In you can. Electrical hookups where you can use your blow dryer.
Awesome. And you got a dining hall?
Yeah, the dining hall seats 250, and we serve hot
wow.
buffet meals. And we also have a stage there where we'll have the cowboy up ball on Thursday evening, but we use that for karaoke. And we have the Kenny Berry Band that'll be coming Thursday night. We have them during our week-long organized rides in the fall, and you know, we usually have a couple of bands each week-long organized ride, and they play in there. But we have the amphitheater, which we will be having the concerts this weekend, weather permitting. And the amphitheater you bring your own lawn chairs, and
Thank you for calling the Social Security Administration.
Hello?
Well, that was Tina May calling Social Security, so we just lost her, but... I didn't know she was that old. She's been deceiving me. But that was funny. That was funny. Yeah. Or they may have been trying to reach me. I don't know. That's funny. But anyway, hey, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk. Tina May's just gotten back on the line. Tina May, was Social Security trying to reach you, or what was the deal there?
I have no idea. That's the second time I got cut off.
That
I think you're doing it, Gary.
That was a hoot. Now, I would have done that during the first segment, not the last segment. But anyway, Christine, let's talk just a little bit about some of the activities that are scheduled for this week. And, of course, we've got the Extreme Cowboy Competition that's going to start at 8 o'clock every morning. They've set a record. The National Championship has set a record for the number of entries. So they'll be starting at 8 o'clock, and they'll be running until dark, probably, to get all of this in. But you talk to us about the organized rides and their times, and then we've got a little something special scheduled for Friday afternoon as well. Talk to us
okay.
about that.
Yes. Thursday we'll start at 2 p.m. with a guided ride, and you'll meet down at the end of the dining hall close to the shower houses. At 2 o'clock, saddled up and ready to go. They'll bring you back in time for dinner, which will be about dinner is 5:30 to 7. And then they'll also take you out at 9 a.m. on Friday and Saturday, and at 2 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. But on Friday at 2 o'clock is the poker run. The poker run is you pay $5 for a hand of poker. And half of the proceeds is going to go to the Fiona Rose, and the other half will go to the winner of the Poker Run. And you will ride to several different locations and draw cards, and they'll have guys that will write your card down, and the highest card wins half of the pot, and then the other half was going to be donated to the foundation.
That's great.
That's a lot of fun. So.
And you can buy more than one hand, can't you?
I'm going to be a poker player.
You can buy more than one hand if you want to as well, so that's pretty neat.
Yes, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, and then we've got the Wind River Outfitters coming down. You've met these guys before, Roger Mills and Danny Berry, and they're going to be there as well with their chuck wagon and do some cooking at lunch for folks that are, you know, enjoying the Extreme Cowboy competition or folks that want to eat there as well. Plus, they'll be doing cowboy music and poetry at dinner each night. So that's going to be a treat. Talented guys, and Danny just sent me some of his music from his new CD and his poetry. So that is going to be a ton of fun as well. And what else do we have going on? Am I missing something?
Okay. Well, 7 o'clock. 7 to 8 on Thursday is the auction.
Yeah.
And the auction items will be items donated by riders and other persons who have items that they no longer can use and like to donate them to the foundation. We'll have a live auction there from 7 to 10. And then 8 o'clock, Kenny Berry Band will play for the Cowboy Up Ball. And I believe that... Didn't you say, Gary, they're going to crown the king and queen of the ball?
We will crown the king and queen of the Cowboys. We've got a great certificate to award to the winner, plus gift packs from Espana Silk for the king and queen of the Cowboys. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll have a celebrity panel that is selecting the king and queen of the Cowboys. And then on Friday, it's a little looser. We've got dinner that starts at 5:30 to 7, and then the concerts with Templeton Thompson and Stephanie Lane and the Sawdust Brothers will begin at 8 o'clock. And then again on Friday night, we'll have dinner from 5:30 to 7. They'll do the awards ceremony for the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship winners. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll begin the concert with Michael Martin Murphy and the Rio Grande Band. And then Sunday morning, we'll get some of Christine's great biscuits and bacon and eggs and whatever else she has lined up for breakfast. And follow that up with Cowboy Church at 9 o'clock with Mike and Doris Merritt, who've come all the way from Oklahoma to be part of this and to provide the music. And then my brother Wayne Holt will be speaking for a few minutes. So it's going to be a pretty stinking full 3 days of 3.5 days of a lot of fun. So we look forward to having folks do that. And you know, Christine, one of the things that we're reminding folks is that for the Extreme Cowboy Competition and for our great vendors that will be there, that's open for the public. They can come in and watch the Extreme Cowboy Competition that starts on Friday and Saturday. And shop with our vendors as well. And then we hope a lot of folks that are doing that will decide to stay for the concerts, because they will be open on Friday and Saturday night for the general public. And we remind folks again to bring the chairs. I think we're going to make it to the amphitheater. I saw a weather forecast, and it's looking pretty good. It's kind of overcast today,
yeah.
But we're supposed to have a lot of sun beginning tomorrow. So I think we'll make that for the amphitheater. And I believe... you told me that would accommodate, 10,000 people?
Somewhere in there, 7 to 10. I really honestly don't know. It just depends if they want to sit there, if they want to stand touching body to body, maybe. But it will be awesome. I do know that the numbers are reaching 300 right now of how many will be here, so the vendors can be excited about that. There'll be a lot of people shopping, and it's just going to be a packed lot of entertainment, a lot of wonderful, wonderful thing about it is I love meeting people from all over. We have people coming from so many states. It's awesome, and many of them coming from far, far away, and we look forward to meeting them and talking to them.
Well, it's going to be a great event, and really, I think honestly, I think we could probably get 800 or 900 people in the area around the amphitheater. So, going to be plenty of room for folks to come out and for competition. They've already been told to bring their ponchos, so they'll be riding rain or shine. So, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
But
I got a slipper.
My Channel 4 weatherman. Yeah, my Channel 4 weatherman said we're going to have some pretty nice weather starting on Wednesday. So we look forward to that.
Well, you touched base on something that I want to cover. Are you wanting to play a song first, Gary?
No, I'm good. We're gonna wrap up the song that a special young lady wrote. But go ahead and touch on.
Well,
what you
want to touch. That's something I want to touch base on. You know, some of our listeners have not been to your place. I'm one of those, which I will be there. So tell us about the trails. Let our listeners know what kind of trails you have out there and some sights to see. And
yeah, our trails, we have 120 miles of trails, and they range from easy to challenging. And you are going to run into all kinds of footing. There's dirt, gravel, sand, clay, sandstone, limestone. So it's a variety of all kinds. Our horseshoers do recommend shoes on the horses or boots, but we are on the in the mountains of Cumberland, and then so the ranch is kind of on the top, and then when you go on the trails, you kind of drop down in the trails, and you're going to see waterfalls and a cave with a stream coming out of it and the pool and little streams. And we have along the bluff line, you'll ride along the bluff line to Indian Rock and this beautiful rock formations. And we've got a place, a clearing on the top of the mountain where we call it Pretty Place, where there's picnic tables and tie lines, and you can, you know, sit there and take a little break. But you can see way down into the valley. And up by Richard's place is another beautiful place to see. Even though he will be closed this weekend, the view is just awesome.
All right. Well, they are breathtaking views, and it's going to just be a great, great time. And I want to mention, too, even though there are organized rides, people can pick up maps. The trails are marked. They can go out and ride on their own as they'd like. There's going to be plenty of time to do that, as well as, you know, enjoy the extreme cowboy competition and vendor shopping. So plenty of time to get out and ride and enjoy all of the things that Circle E Guest Ranch has to offer. Now, one of the hidden secrets of Circle E is the fact that Christine, who manages that place, and Ray couldn't do without you. I already know that, but you're a talented poet and songwriter, and you've got some pretty cool things going on with your music right now. Tell us about that.
I do. I've got few songs out, and one of them is a Rain Down Your Love. It's available on Amazon.com, and you can download that. But Mustang Hard is a song that I wrote. It's about a woman whose heart's been broken and how hard it is to reach her, but it's like easier to tame a wild Mustang than her heart for you is part of the lyrics. But can be done. If Mustangs are turned out to be some really good horses. but anyway, I've got a video. I've got a music video that will be coming out sometime mid-July on Mustang Heart, and I'm really excited about that. The actors did an excellent job. Josh Gewin and his wife, Gillian Gewin of Gewin National Horsemanship, are the actors in the video, and they did such a wonderful job. Some filming, some parts here of Circle E, and Falls Mills, a waterfall there, and the old mill that's about 12 miles from here. But it's a beautiful location. Some places, you know, that people can view when they come up to Circle E. I tell them about Falls Mill all the time. But I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Sounds like I gotta make a comment on your song. You know, the best ones are the hardest to tame.
Yes.
That's right.
We're still talking about Mustangs, aren't we?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, but it can be done. It gives you a little advice for them horse trainers there in the last part of the song.
All right, we'll listen closely to that. But anyway, we look forward to seeing you. I'll see you tomorrow, and I know we've got quite a few folks that are coming in tomorrow, and we've got most of the folks mm-hmm. that will be coming in Thursday. It is going to be a lot of fun. And folks will want to come back time and time again to the Circle E Guest Ranch. And Christine, we're going to close out your segment with your great song, Mustang Heart. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Circle E Guest Ranch. Thanks so much for being
I look forward to seeing you too, and thank you very much.
All right, talk with you
bye
soon.
Bye-bye, Christine.
Okay. Bye-bye, Tina. Bye-bye.
It's easier to tame a wild Mustang than her heart for you. It roams the earth wild and free, searching for love that's true. Her spirit as a wild Mustang. Under a starry night, a cool breeze is blowing. Starlit takes to flight, only restlessness it's knowing. She's known hard love, dressed and battered under a tight glove. Like a Mustang rears and runs bold, it snorts loud, see its breath in the cold. It's easier to tame a wild Mustang than
Well, that's Christine Mortensen's Mustang Heart. Pretty neat song, Tina May.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful song.
Great song. So anyway, and I told Christine we might have to get her up on stage during the Cowboy Up Ball to do one or two numbers. So anyway,
absolutely.
We look forward to a great 3 or 4 days up at the Circle E Guest Ranch, part of Equestrian Legacy Radio's trail ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And all of the proceeds go to help children with brittle bone disease. And it's pretty rewarding to see all of these kids that have been helped this year from money that was raised from last year's event. So visit equestrianlegacy.net. You can find out more information there about the Fiona Rose Murphy event that we're putting on at the Circle E Guest Ranch. And, you know, I think I forgot to tell folks about Trail Guard. And let me do that
right now.
I did.
And I am so thankful that I have them before I go on my trip.
Yeah. But anyway, Trail Guard is 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You get unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get you and your trailer and horses home or to your destination. 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more and enroll with Trail Guard at trailguard.org. And we're also grateful to our other sponsor, and that's Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. And you can shop with them right online at trailheadsupply.com. So, anyway, we've got a lot of exciting things coming up. Looking forward to meeting my co-host for the first time in about 2 days. And so that's going to be a lot of fun to visit with you. We've got so many of our friends that are coming from across the country that we have not met, and many that we have that will be joining us at the Circle E Guest Ranch, all of it part of Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. Not too late to reserve your campsites and your stalls. And if you can't make it for the entire event, you can get tickets for Friday night's concert with Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers. And also for Saturday night's performance with Michael Martin Murphy and the Rio Grande Band. And you can do that if you'd like to purchase those in advance at equestrianlegacy.net as well, or you can get your tickets at the gate the night of the event. So, any final thoughts, Ms. Tina May?
Just that people stay in the know what's going on with your public lands, and don't sit back and watch. Have a voice.
All right, that's good advice. And who do we have joining us next Tuesday on Saddle Up America?
Well, next Tuesday, we have Robert Eversoll, the Trailmeister. Then we travel near Scottsdale, Kentucky, and talk with Jack Haynes, owner of Long Sea Trails.
All right. Well, Long Sea is actually about 45 minutes from me. They're just outside of Westmoreland, Tennessee. And
yes,
so
they're actually in Tennessee, but closer to Scottsdale, Kentucky.
Actually, parts
that's
of the land.
That's why I said near.
Yeah, part of the land is in Tennessee, part of it's in Kentucky. So it's a neat, neat place. Great folks up there at Long Sea, and a favorite for a lot of folks in the Middle Tennessee and the Kentucky area to go and visit with Jack and the folks up there. So that's going to be a fun show with them. We've got the Sawdust Brothers will be back with us on Thursday, as well as Tracy Pinson and Roger Frazier from the Extreme Cowboy Association. So we'll be visiting with those folks again. It's a repeat show because we will be at Circle E, and we're kind of iffy on our internet service up there. So, but that will be a fun show. If you haven't heard that, once you listen to the Sawdust Brothers, you're going to decide you have to meet these guys. They are just a ton of fun and super talented guys. Then Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, her special guest is G.T. Hurley, an ex-Marine, a miner, a singer, songwriter, cowboy, and so that's going to be a fun show on Sunday at 9 o'clock on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. So that does it for us today on Equestrian Legacy Radio Saddle Up America. We hope to see a lot of you at the Circle E Guest Ranch this weekend. Sure looking forward to seeing Tina May. I'm going to kind of measure your trips to the buffet.
Are you going to see how much I put on my plate?
We'll see how much you put on the plate and how many times you visit that chuck wagon from Wind River Outfitters. So anyway, going to be a lot of fun. And as always, we remind our listeners, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're going to close out the show today with a great song with our headliner for Friday night, Templeton Thompson's A Horse That Can Fly. And we remind you, as we always do, and we mean this, thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
All caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. Can fly, yeah, yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and live a big old cloud. Stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, yeah. Kick 'em up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Yeah. So I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, yeah. I need a horse that can fly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Feeling all cooped up, feeling all caged. Light on my mind, yeah. Gonna free my wild.